Join two friends as they journey through a combined love of the wonderment of witchcraft. Walk the witch path with your hosts Jenna and Shandi as they delve into occult feminism, astrology, spells, and much more magic as they explore what's brewing in Canadian conjuring.
Welcome to Witch's Brew.
Oh, hey, how's it going?
Welcome
to episode 2 of Witch's Brew.
Dropping a deuce on ya. Gross.
Yeah, gross. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, 2020.
Yay. Woo. But I mean, like, isn't Witch's New Year Samhain? You know, it's hard when you're like, oh, do you have two? Or you're just like half and half? Like, what?
I mean, realistically, who cares? Sorry, that was terrible, but like,
the more new start to get.
it's just every day we struggling.
Every day we hustling, struggling.
Yeah, hustling was the word I was looking for, but I was like, anyway.
Oh man, speaking of like the new year, I just like browsed at my stars coming up, and it's like I'm going through this really shitty Uranus conjunct descendant transit for the last like 8 months, and I was like, all right, over in the spring, okay, like I'm digging deep, I'm trying to learn the lessons, I'm trying to work with the energy, like it does have a purpose. And then I was like, okay, what can I look forward to? And it's like Saturn square Pluto, Saturn opposite Venus, opposition Venus, and I'm like, fuck man, like this is so hard.
It's been a minute or two since your previous Saturn return. When do you due for your next one?
It's like first you get your first one around 29, and then
like hide your age in case you didn't want to tell anyone.
Oh, I don't mind age. I'm fine. So yeah, I'm 7 years. I am 36 right now. So I've been 7 years out of my Saturn return. So all the cycles that and structures and all that shit that I set up at that point is now like facing this new 7 year renewal thing. Yeah. But yeah, you're what? How old are you? 29? You're 59, right? 56, some shit like that. Obviously my math is real bad. 29 times 2 when you hit your second one around there. Yeah.
Brutes.
Yeah. Saturn return. You had a good one, eh? Yours was the worst one I've ever seen.
God, it's been a long couple of years. It started, I can't remember what the conjunct is, but it's started in July 2018, and it's supposed to, fingers crossed, wrap up around mid-March 2020.
Yeah.
It explains a lot.
It does. I read that one. I was like, ooh, yes, there's a lot going on there. But yeah, it
feels like I'm coming up to like the speed round here in the last few months of it. It's like, oh, so what have you learned? Oh, let's put it into practice. Then it's like, but I forget, or I don't want to do this anymore. And it's just like, you gotta learn, little witch, you gotta learn.
Like, last so, minute pop quiz, go, bitch!
Seriously. And it's like, oh, the stakes are 5 times as higher as they were before in your practice rounds.
Yeah, do any of our listeners find that too? That all your astrological transits get so much more fucking intense right at the end?
Yeah.
I do.
I certainly do. Like I feel like I'm due for like a little astrological break. My stars don't say that. My stars are pretty against that.
Yeah.
But that's okay. That's how we learn. That's how we grow. Nobody grows when they're standing still, so
that's right, you know. And I mean, even like I'm sure we'll get more in the stars.
The year coming, life is a funny thing. So okay, can I just take a little sidetrack here for a minute?
I'm listening.
And talk a little bit about the patriarchy, a little experience I had today.
Oh yes, please tell me.
So I was for some reason like just farting around on the internet, and a friend of mine had posted IDR Labs personality tests, and I took one, and it was called like the Dark Core Personality Test. Have you ever seen this?
Nope.
So, yeah, I did this test, a personality test, and it was called the Dark Core. And right away, I feel like it was setting me up to, you know, question my life decisions for the last little while. Or my entire life, who knows? But then I started answering them. It was not, like, I was working from home, so I had a little break scheduled for myself, and it was 105 questions that you just had to agree or disagree with, so it wasn't, like, too labor-intensive. Anyway, it opened my eyes up to a lot of different parts or, like, aspects of myself, which was cool or whatever. Like, I was trying to be as completely honest with this test as I was with myself. And so it kind of breaks down when you finish the test. You don't get like a full like, oh, you're this or you're this. It's like, oh, well, you have shades of all of these, like whatever your score was for these certain traits. So like narcissism, schizoid, depressive, dependent. Like I think there was like 15 different portions that you could kind of score in. And so I was looking at mine, and I'm not sure if you're familiar. You probably are. I don't know. I just kind of learned about this today. Histrionic. You familiar with that?
No. What is it?
Okay. So I scored relatively high on the histrionic. And so I was like, what the fuck is this? Not that I was like, oh my God, I'm not supposed to be on this thing. But it's just like, oh my God, I don't know what this is. What the fuck is wrong with me? So I went through the old Wikipedia, and histrionic is derived from, so it's called histrionic personality disorder. So that's derived from hysterical personality disorder, which essentially is, you know, awful. It's listeners, Jenna, everyone, just do a little dive into hysterical personality disorder and how fucking Freud, that motherfucker.
You're talking about how people used to be diagnosed with all the shit, and it's really just like no one listens to you, and you're super like frustrated with your station in life, and everything's bullshit. No one takes women seriously. Type of shit.
You're unhappy because you're not being heard. It's like, oh, that's a personality disorder. I feel like. Anyway, so, sorry, deep breath here. So I dug a little deep, and there was like this mnemonic device to help like remember the symptoms and signs of this fucking disorder. And even the fucking mnemonic device is so condescending, Jenna.
What you got?
I can't even. The mnemonic device is praise me.
Oh.
Right? It's like, what the fuck? And like, some of them, it's just like, oh, you've overreacted to this, or you're avoiding this situation, or you're dependent on this, or you make too much out of relationships, that, or you think that you've had a deeper relationship than you've actually had, or like, it just keeps going and going.
Does it diagnose the patriarchy as a personality disorder?
Fuck. It was like, and then it was going on. Oh, well, out of every 5 women, 4 of them have histrionic disorder, personality disorder.
And is only it as modern one... or is it old?
What, pardon?
Is it modern or old?
This is the modern version of this. This is on the fucking DSM.
No.
Right? And so, like, dramatic. If you're too dramatic, then that's a personality disorder.
We can't take that seriously. No way.
Yeah, it's crazy. So, like, out of every 5 women, 4 have it, and out of every 5 men, maybe 1 is diagnosed. Maybe. And it's just like. I wonder, anyway, I don't even want to go down that road. So, fuck you, Freud.
Fuck the patriarchy.
Bullshit. And then, you, 2020 like, I'm a goals. Sorry?
2020 goals.
Oh, for fuck's sakes, man. Like, I'm a Jungian all the way. Actually, you know what? whatever. Jung was like, oh, hey, I'm the first psychoanalyst. I've created the whole psychotherapy thing. It's like, okay, no, son. Buddha created that motherfucking shit. Fucking 10,000 years ago. Anyway, I digress. I'll leave it at that. Histrionics. Fuck you, Freud. What the fuck?
No fuck good.
You, patriarchy.
Yep, absolutely.
Fuck! Mm-hmm. Hell.
But anyways, we're in a new year. And
yeah.
Yeah.
It's heavy. I apologize, but like...
We're moving along. No, man. There's so much more heavy.
I told you earlier that I was having like a tubby time, and I had like, I was thinking about this in the tub, and I had a bunch of clear quartz, and I put them on like my fucking entire body, and then I was like filling my heart with rose quartz. I was like having a supercharged bath. I actually do feel a lot better now.
That's good. If y'all want to learn about clear quartz, hop back to episode 1 where Shondi tells us all about it.
Get it.
What are you going to talk about in this episode? Crystal white.
We're doing amethyst.
Amethyst! That's so exciting.
It's nice. It's calming.
It's so great. You know what else we're going to talk about? We're going to talk about mugwort.
Muggy.
Mugwort's so great. And then we're going to do a potion review, a witch's brew potion review. And this one is on a potion that I made from some mugwort in my garden. And it's a little illicit.
So danger. Watch out.
Mm-mm, watch out. Yeah. So, you know what else sucks? The Christmas holiday break. This is some fucking bullshit.
Amen, sister.
Not into it. Like, not into it at all. Like, solstice, that's great. You know, return of the light after the dark. That is amazing. But this, like, Christmas forced stop on your whole life and work and fucking childcare and school and the bullshit and just, I'm not into it. Every year I say I'm not into it. No, I'm not into it. And just march through it anyways. I'm done. Fuck it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I feel you. I'm hearing you loud and clear, and I'm picking up what you're putting down, and I fucking hate it too.
Yeah, not my holiday. Not my anything.
I just really hate the obligation to give a gift. If I'm giving a gift, it's because I want to give a gift. It's because I saw something that made me think of someone or made me feel a certain way, and I wanted that other person to feel the same way. I don't want to give gifts because I fucking have to.
No, because 100%.
Yeah. Fucking consumerism dictates this shit. No, I want to give a gift because I like giving gifts. And I was thinking about this person, you know, you're picking it up. I'm just rambling at this point, but.
Yeah. Anyways, fuck you, Christmas. You're...
Yeah.
No, it's not stupid. I hate it. It's not great.
So what was awful about this year?
No, just like, well, this Uranus conjunct, like, descendant thing is not great. Some of my family situations are not great at all. And that's kind of, like, really hard to deal with. That's just magnified at Christmas because everyone just wants to pretend that they have a perfect family. And that's not reality most of the time. So,
no.
And just like being trapped, right? Like the winter's hard enough. I want to be outside. I want to be working with plants. I want to be in my garden. And it's just cold and weird. And I don't know. I've always find when I have family in my space too, like your witchcraft routines get disrupted. You might miss a new moon or a full moon or just not really be able to go as deep as you want or do the same things. You know what I mean? So. Just kind of like disrupting, not my brand.
I feel you.
Yeah.
It's difficult to migrate with the seasons as it is, but when you throw on a bunch of obligation and a bunch of different family archetypes, it's difficult. Beyond difficult.
Ooh, speaking of archetypes, you know what I recently got was the Archetypes deck by The Wild Unknown. Oh, I am loving it. It's like similar to tarot, the cards are circles. Check out our Instagram at Witches Brew Podcast, and you can check out a picture of one of them that I put up. But it's really neat. It's kind of like different symbols and different like archetypes, like you know, the ocean, the river, the animal, the child, like things like that. And it kind of like is opening up like a whole bunch of different doors in terms of thinking. So yeah, I drew a card on New Year's Day and I got the animal. I was like, ooh, I really like this. So I'm going to try to lean into that a bit in the coming months and kind of explore that. Because obviously we're all animals, but you know what I mean? And this is part of this
Getting back.
Uranus, yeah, thing too. Like this Uranus DC conjunction thing for me. It's just like removing structures that make your life stale.
Like defunking your, life, your structured life that is
Yeah.
demanded on you by other structures. So just get back to yourself, man.
Yeah, and I'm feeling it, so I'm gonna go.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you?
My New Year's divination was painful. It was really painful. That stuck with me for a little while. I won't lie to you. It was about a solid
Me.
week of just pure like fear. I had
No.
I did a little past, present, future on New Year's Day, and it went as Page of Wands reversed, the Magician upright, and then Justice reversed. So there was a lot of fretting over past decisions I've made because the reckoning is coming. It is
Ooh.
in the post. I've kind of a after that, I was feeling so nervous. I've made a lot of bad choices in my life. But I was feeling so nervous, I broke out the pendulum and I was like, am I going to lose my job? Because for some reason, I was really scared about that because bitch better have my money, but hopefully our pendulum told me I'm safe.
Oh, that's good.
So
Great.
at least I have that going for me. But myriad of other poor decisions I've made in my life that I've bounced back from, I feel like it's all gonna, and that's coming into like the astrological conjunct there that we were speaking about earlier. Like everything's coming to a head right now, and it's real. It's real, real. And these next couple months are gonna be incredibly real as well for me. I can feel
Well,
it.
that's good. I mean, that it's, I'm here for you. You're here for me. And I love that. And it's really great because this is stuff that you have to work through. Because the more you resist these transits and like influences, the worse it gets.
Yes, so 2020, not a major bummer. I'm not trying to do that. We're not trying to bum you out. It's going to be amazing. You just got to
It's
put the
gonna
work in.
be a year. It's gonna be a time for sure.
We're all going to flourish.
Yeah.
Yeah. Positive manifestations.
That's right. I love it.
Yeah. So from here, we've got the potion review. We've got the plant review. We've got the crystal review. We've got it all. So just hang 10 and we'll
Stay
be
tuned.
coming right up with that.
All right, enjoy.
Welcome to the Witch's Garden. Walk the fields and forest and join us in the garden as we discuss and learn about all kinds of magical plants. Welcome to the Witch's Garden. Today we are talking about mugwort. I don't really think that you can mention witchcraft without mentioning mugwort. The two go together like bread and butter. It is absolutely a standby, prominent herb and magical ingredient that has been used in witchcraft through most of history. So I like to consider mugwort the dream herb, and it is a lunar herb that is sacred to Artemis or Diana or Hecate. So mugwort is really excellent for divination, renewal, and opening doors and gateways. It's kind of like an amazing key that you can possess. So it's used for intuitive development and to develop the ability to confront difficult truths. It can clear paths for energy. So it is also amazing in psychic and physical travel protection. So I've been working with mugwort this year, I almost treat mugwort like a dream therapist. So I'm using it before sleep, in a variety of formats, which I'll get into, kind of to go deep and investigative in my dreams, like to kind of open up those doors and those gateways and see kind of what happens and what kind of can get through after that. So I think by lighting up and empowering my subconscious and dream self, it's able to help me work through some of the harder aspects or blockages or trauma of the self or of the consciousness.
So I have a lot of respect for mugwort, and I think it is one of those amazing magical herbs that is really great to work with. So I highly recommend working with it. So this was actually my first year growing mugwort, which I found really surprising, but I was super excited. So I leaned in pretty hard and I started some seeds in the spring, and I think I seeded a bit heavy. So I ended up with 80 mugwort seedlings to plant out. So I made them their own bed. I had a really nice, well-dug bed I prepared specifically for the mugwort. It was fertilized kind of with some manure, well-rotted manure, and some compost, and a little bit raised too. So lots of like well-drained soil. And I planted a full bed and kind of monitored it through the year. And then I also gave some plants to friends. I tucked some in other people's gardens. I put a few in my other herb garden and kind of just around the house in a few pots. When you have that many, it was just like you may as well try everything. So just to see, where it was going to grow best or what it likes to do and how it likes to grow, because I'd never grown it here. So that was interesting to kind of see the difference between the spots and where it was growing. So my hope was that it's going to be a perennial in my garden, so that it's either going to come back either from the rootstock, or that the seeds that fell are gonna grow again in the spring, and I'll have a new crop of mugwort, which would be amazing. Let's see. A big focus for me this year has been like developing more of a witchy garden, like kind of taking a lot of my like 15 years of like agriculture, horticulture experience, and combining it, like going a new direction, more of a focused direction. So working with a lot more magical herbs, plants, and ingredients, and kind of like sustainably harvesting and wildcrafting herbs to build up like an herbal tool chest for spell work, or kind of like a magical pharmacopoeia. So mugwort's Latin name is Artemisia vulgaris, and it's actually a member of the daisy family. I get a lot of plant ID requests, and one of the things people send me is this mugwort? And it actually turns out most often to be ragweed. So ragweed grows everywhere. It's super invasive weed, and they do kind of look very similar as well. So just make sure, ragweed can cause a lot of allergies in people. So just make sure you know what you're working with before you get to it. Mugwort has kind of like a fanny, dark green on the top, silver on the bottom, leaf, and it likes to kind of grow somewhat tall. Like I think mine got up to like belly button level, but I've seen some that are over my head, and I'm what, 5'2". So it kind of gets a little boughy, and then the ends of the boughs kind of turn into flat, or like they grow flowers, and then the flowers grow, like develop seeds. So I did a lot of gradual harvesting through my mugwort through the summer and fall. So I'd pick it in batches, like fill a bowl here and there, and then I would dry it. And then once it was dry in small batches, just keep filling jars of it. Let's see. So one thing you need to be aware of is when you're touching mugwort with your hands, you have to be very careful. So I use gloves most of the time when I was harvesting, because mugwort can bring on menstruation. And it can also produce like a very dreamy state. So it's not something that is going to be handled by pregnant or nursing people. This is not something that you should be working with, as it can cause some very serious like health effects. And also like the dreamy state, depending on like what you're doing with your day or like what's up, you might not want to get like super blissed out while you're harvesting your mugwort. So wear gloves. So mugwort is not an herb that you want to use or ingest all the time. It can affect your liver and your nervous system, so you don't want to use it for longer than a few days at a time, and you have to make sure you take like a week break in between. Again, I'm not an herbalist, I'm not a doctor. You need to do your own research. You need to make sure that you don't have a pre-existing medical condition that would clash with the effects of mugwort. So listen to your body and please do your own research all the time. One of my favorite ways that I prepared mugwort this year was tinctures. So I had a whole bunch of high proof alcohol. I had some friends that have a still, so they end up with a bunch of bottles of like high proof weird stuff. So I got a few of those, and I made a few different versions of tinctures. So One I just did with mugwort on its own, and another I did mugwort and some yarrow and sweet gale. So my goal there would be a dream tincture. That's pretty much what I'm using all the mugwort tinctures for. And then I also did another one with mugwort and psilocybin in it, like magic mushrooms. Again, not recommending that you work with those, but that's something that I chose to do. So mugwort and psilocybin have a lot of very similar effects. I realized once I was researching that they both do very similar things, such as like clear blockages, open up doors, open up gateways. So I thought I would combine them in the format of a tincture to kind of really maybe like, level up the mugwort or kind of take it in a different direction or maybe go a little deeper in terms of bringing things in my subconscious to my conscious level. So you really want to watch it when you're making tinctures that you have to know how much to take. So I think some of the ones that I made were about a 5 mL recommended dose based on my like experimentation with them. If you're getting an actual tincture that's made by, an herbalist or a professional, it'll have a dose recommendation on the side. So you have to take in effect things like your body weight or your height or your stature, or how fast your system works or how fast you absorb things as well. Just be careful not to go too big, too fast. So when I'm making a tincture, I am taking fresh or dried herbs. I would prefer fresh if you have them. And I'm packing a glass bottle with these herbs, and then I'm adding the high proof alcohol on top. So it essentially will sit and brew, preferably in the dark. Please don't put it in the sun. And then I will come back and like tamp it down every once in a while. And then I'll add more fresh herbs if I still have some space in the bottle. And then, give it a like mixture every like week or so, poke it down so it kind of gets mixed up with the levels, just so you end up getting a really well-blended potion. So another way to access the magic of mugwort is to burn the herb. Some people say that really the only way to access the magic is through burning it. So something that you could do is kind of like harvest some mugwort, and then you can use it fresh or you could also dry some and kind of make like a little herb bundle. And you could burn a bit of that before you go to sleep if you want to get into the dream work. Or I always make with my herbal, like my garden harvest at the end of the year, I make a whole bunch of different types of herb bundles, which I will probably do an episode on soon. And I'm putting things like garden seed or garden sage and cedar and yarrow. So I had so much mugwort this year that I saved some for that. And I haven't burnt any yet because they're still drying, but I'm excited to see what happens when I do. You can also make a mugwort tea, or you can make a mugwort dream pillow. These are great ways to also access some of the dream magic that mugwort has. I also traded some mugwort to a home brewer this year, so they're making like a neat mugwort beer. I'm really excited to try it. Mugwort is kind of like, it's mildly hallucinogenic, like throwing back to that dreamy state that you might get while you're harvesting. So it was actually banned. It's illegal to grow in Louisiana in 2005. I'm not sure if that's been overturned by now, but that's pretty outrageous. So I think mugwort has an amazing place in the witch's garden, and I think it's definitely something that every aspiring witch or just anyone interested in herbs and plants should grow because it does grow in a really interesting way. So it's late fall, pretty much winter here. Like there's snow on the ground, nothing's really growing. I'm getting into like a long few months of winter here in Canada. So one thing I like to do during that time, because I can't be outside growing things, which is my favorite thing to do, is I like to plan what I'm going to grow next year. So, once the seed catalogs start to come in, you can kind of start to envision what you're going to grow next year and get excited about it, which is a great way to help get through the winter. So one thing you might want to do is plan out your witchy garden for the new year or for the next spring. Even if you don't have a lot of space to have a garden in the ground, you can have like planter boxes, even just pots in your window, but something to get excited about. And please consider growing some mugwort. All right, see you next time.
Welcome to Shandi's Crystal Cavern. It's a cavern of crystals. I live in a little cave and it's made of all kinds of pretty sparkly gems.
I don't live in a cave. Today we are going to talk about amethyst. So amethyst is purple on the outside. It looks pretty cool, pretty nice. So it is derived from quartz. So it's just, some would say it might have been just cooked a little bit longer. There's all kinds of properties associated with amethyst, healing properties, soothing properties, all kinds of cool properties. Property in my crystal cavern. Oh, anyway. So the name amethyst is derived from the Greek word amethustos. I don't know how to speak Greek. I said it to make myself like that, to make myself feel fancy. But that means, amethyst means not intoxicated. It comes from kind of like an old myth or legend. So the wine god Bacchus, he was pretty pissed off and ready to just like make a name for himself and avenge himself, kind of. Been there. This happened to me. So he decreed that the first person he would meet would be eaten by his tigers. Pretty shitty. So unfortunately, somebody happened to walk by, and that was a beautiful lady named Amethyst. And she was on her way to worship at the shrine of Diana, who is the goddess of the moon, my favorite. So as the tigers bounced out, she sought protection from Diana. And she was saved by being turned into a clear white crystal. Bacchus, regretting his cruelty, poured the juice of his grapes over the stone as an offering, giving the gem its lovely purple hue. What a nice story. Greek mythology is so not vengeful or cruel or patriarchal at all. But I digress. Ancient Egyptians were the first ones actually noted to use amethyst around 3000 BC. And they would use it to, they believed that it could protect a person from being poisoned. So it was often put under someone's pillow to cure insomnia and to bring pleasant dreams. Churchmen, yeah, they picked it up too. They used amethyst as in rings and jewels and all kinds of glittery goblets and stuff to promote divine revelations and wisdom. So it was also, at this point, said to enhance courage, intuition, psychic development, self-esteem, and to deflect anger and protect the wearer against evil. So amethyst as a healing crystal is known to relieve stress, strain, kind of balance out your mood swings, soothe irritability, and dissolves negativity. It is associated with the third eye chakra. So that's your crown chakra. So it is used to open yourself up to more intuitive abilities and psychic abilities. And it gives it a bit more power. It's like a signal boost, like a Wi-Fi extender for those purposes. It was also known to protect from thieves, travelers, and the way you can charge it and clean it is either in coldness or underneath the moon. It is the birthstone for February. And like I mentioned before, amethyst is really great at dissolving negativity. So I like to have a little spirit bath every now and then. And I like to put the amethyst right at the top of my crown or of my tub, to be honest, where I lay my head. And I put a piece of quartz and a piece of amethyst there. And sometimes if I'm feeling really kind of bummed or really in need of a good cleansing, I'll take that amethyst and I'll put it right in the tub with me. Not supposed to, but hey, I do it. It feels really nice. It's rejuvenating. So that is my tidy, quick, little snapshot of what amethyst can do for you. And I just would like to give a little shout out to crystalvaults.com. So it's CrystalVaults.com. Honestly, I really enjoyed this website. It has everything that you need to know. If you feel that you want to maybe take a peruse, feel free. Tell them Shandi sent you. All right, thanks, witches.
Good morning.
Morning. What a night.
We're doing a morning potion review.
It was intense, but good.
So as we were talking about mugwort in this episode, we decided to review a mugwort potion. This one was homemade by me. So just before we get going, we're just going to put a big old disclaimer in here. So as always, do your own research with plants. Make sure you...
We are not herbalists.
We're not herbalists.
We are not doctors. We are not naturopaths. We are just a couple of gals.
Yeah. Trying things out, hanging out.
Trying to actually live our dreams.
But other things too, like as we learned about mugwort, like people who are breastfeeding or are pregnant or thinking about becoming pregnant should not be handling mugwort at all.
No.
So ingesting it as well, please don't do that. And also, everybody's body reacts different to every substance. So please, do your own research. Don't take our word for it. Seek the advice of professionals.
Definitely.
So what we had was... mugwort potion. So this was mugwort grown in my garden, and it was soaked in some high proof alcohol. Don't even know what kind. Literally someone I know with a still was like, here you go, here's a bottle of high proof. And then we took a bit of psilocybin and like magic mushrooms and put that into the bottle. So the bottle was probably about 500 mils crammed with mugwort.
Crammed to the brim.
Yeah. And then high proof, and then there's probably like under a gram of like psilocybin in there, and so it's been soaking since the early fall, and I've tried it a few times and I've had some amazing dreams and amazing like thoughts about it, especially. So as we learned about mugwort before, like mugwort is like the gate opener, like the door opener, and it allows you to kind of do a lot of like intense dream work while you're asleep. So I'm calling this dream juice, and I'm also, it's kind of like dream therapy in some ways.
Big time for me. I was, yeah, before we get into the dream aspect of it, you don't have to ingest mugwort to have the dream powers unlocked. You can make a dream sachet, or you can stick some in your pillow that will also entice your dreams out.
Or you can burn some too.
Or you can burn it. Yeah. So don't feel like you have to ingest it. We're just a couple of crazy witches.
Yeah. Yeah, we're just getting extreme right away. Yeah. Right out the gate, coming in hot.
We're coming in real hot with this. But it's fun, and we trust each other. So we know our limits. Again, just making sure you know yours as well.
This is considered like microdosing as well. So
yes.
I mean, we took maybe 5 mils of the potion. Mm-hmm. So it was just a little bit. Right before bed. Yeah.
I directly went to bed because I was zonked anyway.
Mm-hmm. It's been a week.
And I had an early start. But, yeah, do you want to break into it or?
Sure. So I went to bed and I was reading a bit. And I read for probably about an hour. And then I was kind of like, oh, I can feel a little bit of this. So then, you know, just a little bit. Nothing extreme. And again, like your dose per body weight is going to be something that you have to figure out.
Big time.
If you are going to make this, but you know, we're not really recommending you do necessarily.
Yeah. And just as another little disclaimer, we're not putting this potion up.
No.
Recipe wise.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, there's been a lot of like amazing research, and I have a lot of like friends that are doing microdosing as a way to treat depression or just like anxiety, and seeing some really amazing results with that. So this is kind of a play on that as well.
Right.
Let's
break into our dreams.
Let's break into those dreams. So
potion review.
Woo! You go first.
Okay. So, like I mentioned before, I went directly to bed. This would have been around between 8:30 and 9 PM. I know.
Sometimes there's nights like that.
I was real tired, guys. It was Sunday.
Me too.
So I went to sleep. It was, I don't know. I'm not going to say it was slow to kick in, but I had some intense dreams almost right away. I won't get into exactly what the dream was, I guess. Or maybe I will, whatever. Either way, I woke up and I was like, oh my goodness, I have to be up for 5. What time is it? I went for like the old bathroom run, came back, looked at my phone. I was like, oh, I'm going to be so late for work. It was 11:41, so I could kind of feel it at that point there, too. I was a little, everything was kind of slow-mo, fast-mo, if that makes sense. But then I went back to sleep, and that was when it really hit hard, dream-wise. It was just continuous. It was just constant dreaming. It was good. It was like kind of like a future past kind of dream. I was telling Jenna earlier, it was like my past lives, not past lives like as in who I was before, like past life, like when I was a child, like an adolescent growing up, that kind of era in my life, but also it was in the future. So it was as if somehow that if everything would have stayed the same in the past, this is what a future kind of trip home would look like. I've had a lot of changes since then, if that makes sense. And a lot of past things. Dream therapy, for sure. Yeah. I opened up like this one possibility that I've never even thought of. I think it was because I saw a picture of this person before, before I went to sleep, or in the day at time, actually. And it was someone I used to date, and then circumstances happened where we were no longer able to date. It wasn't really a choice of ours. But good for him. He stepped up. He did the right thing. All that good stuff. No, never really thought about him before, after that. But then within my dream, that possibility kind of opened up. And I was like, you know what? I wouldn't hate that. You know?
That's neat.
I wouldn't hate that.
Yeah, it's interesting to explore different paths or...
Yeah.
Things that maybe you weren't thinking about, but
at all,
but larger archetypes in your mind. Yeah, that's cool. And for me as well, it was kind of like a non-stop like dreamathon the whole night, and just like dreams running into dreams, and that was really neat. So no like crazy revolutionary things, but you know what I mean. This is kind of something that like I think does the work behind the scenes,
subconsciously.
And again, yeah, and it's not something that you take all the time for this effect, but yeah, so dreams, what was that? It was a weird, like, it was like a mix of, like, I was in like this kind of like seniors residence, but it was also an office building, and there was lots of elevator action going on, and then like all these, like a lot of old people, and they were being like really kind to me, especially two of them, but, and then like, just like, it was, I don't really dream about old people all the time, so there was a lot of like more seniors and like a seniors community. Kind of gave me like a BC vibe. There's lots of water going on. And at one point, these like, this old man and this old woman were going to go swimming in like November. And I wanted to go fishing because he was telling me about the fish. Heads up, I have recurring fishing dreams. And we'll be getting into that, I'm sure. It's just going to come up all the time.
Girl likes the fish.
Yeah. In my dreams. All the time. And in real life.
IRL too.
IRL. So yeah, just kind of like, and then some family stuff kind of came up a little bit. So... nothing too crazy, but, you know, like, a really full nonstop, yeah. And, like, you could go, you were awake, you could go back to sleep, and you just kept dreaming, so.
That's, just
neat.
We'd mentioned before in our intro and in our previous segments, I'm a heavy dreamer. It's kind of like,
yeah.
That's what it's like for me.
We're both into
that's,
it.
That's, no, like, I am,
oh,
like,
yeah.
A straight,
oh, yeah,
like,
you
constantly,
do.
Constantly, like,
anytime you wake up, you're like, here's 8 dreams I had. I'm like, whoa, that's amazing. Yeah. You have a great dream recall, which is an amazing skill.
They're intense, yo. But, yeah, it's just constant, 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 constant. So, for me, personally, because I dream so heavy normally, it works, but it was, I could tell that it was doing more of a deep dive into some brain activity,
yeah.
That I wasn't really, or was that I was actively trying not to do.
Yeah,
to be
yeah,
honest.
Exactly.
Actually trying not to do that. So it was,
Mugwort's like, not gonna open that door.
Hey, what's under this blanket here? Like, let's take this rug and just sweep it out here. Quit that.
Well, we're talking about dreams. I just want to say that I have done dream journals since I was in my late teens, early 20s. And it's something that's super amazing. Like a little book, keep beside your bed. Mm-hmm. Take it with you where you go and just write down your dreams. And one, it's amazing, like creative fodder for like songs or poems. Definitely. Or anything like that. But two, you can go back and just be like, oh, that's been a long time that's been coming up in my life.
Yep.
It's a great way to pay attention to stuff.
Great point of reference.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be like a full, like, oh, if I can't remember all of my dreams, just write down the parts that you do remember, the parts that really stick out. And then you can kind of reference that feeling, because sometimes it's difficult to reference a feeling within a dream, but there's a kind of like a marker there, so like fishing, that will help you remember that feeling and what it actually meant to you.
Yeah, it's great, like journaling, and like a really great way to express that stuff. I find by writing it down, it clears my brain for like more dreams and messages that can come through. So
for sure.
We both love dreams. We're dreamers, doers and dreamers.
Nova Scotia.
All right, so thanks again for joining us.
Thanks for listening.
Witches Brew. We'll see you next time.